tell you about our sorrow. That you're a God who cares so much about us. That you're going to lift us up. You're going to put your arms around us. You're going to bandage up our wounds. You're going to mend our broken heart. You're going to give us what we need. We can tell you about it. You're a fixer. Mind regulator. Our steps are ordered. Lord, bless this branch of Zion. These are your children. And what good are sheep without a shepherd? And what good is a shepherd without sheep? So God, would you bind us together? And we'll care for one another and do a great work to your glory. Let us be mindful of the great and the small. Let us be mindful of ministry. Oh God, bless the servants that you have assigned to this work. Bless those that are being served. When we call on your name, Lord, let us call your name with a desire to go to work. Let us remember that we've only got the light of day. In this room, God, they've come from many walks of life. They've come, Lord, because they believe in you. Your word says that the just live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please you. So our faith is in front of us, beside us, behind us, all around us. We trust you. Solomon reminds us that we can't just trust you in some ways. We cannot trust you in some things. We cannot trust you sometime. But in all our ways, we've got to know that it's you. Give you all the praise and glory and trust you with all our heart. Touch the feeble heart today. Touch the unsure heart. Touch the weak heart. Touch the broken heart. God, we pray these prayers because we know that you hear and answer prayer. We're in a season here, Lord, called harvest. Thanksgiving. We thank you. First and foremost, we thank you. Because every good and perfect gift, everything we have and everything we've ever put our hands on, you gave it to us. So we won't wait until Thursday afternoon when we're sitting around the table with friends and family. Even if we're dining alone, we want to thank you right now. We want to thank you right now. We want to thank you right now. Because we may not be around on Thursday, and we don't want to miss an opportunity to thank you. Because every time we think about what you've done for us, how far you brought us, how you kept us, how you lifted us up out of the muck and the mire, how you made peace for us, made a way out of no way, been a bridge over our troubled water, been our light in dark places. We just want to thank you. Catch our breath and say, whoo, thank you, Lord. We might have barely escaped by the hairs of our chinny chin chin, but we thank you, God, that we got out somehow. And even though it may not be over, we all right. We may be wounded and can't run like we used to run and can't sing like we used to sing and don't have what we used to have, but it's all right with our soul. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. And I want you to know, God, how much I love you. Lord, I've been loving you a long time. And I want you to know I'm going to love you forever. Because I heard you say, even if my mother and father were to forsake me, you're going to be right there. When my money ain't like it used to be, you're going to be right there. When folk who stood with me are now gone away from me, you're going to be right there. When I just can't lift my leg, or lift my hand, or even lift up my eyes, you're going to be right there. And I'm going to praise you however I can praise you. I'm going to praise you with my tears. I'm going to praise you with the shrugging of my shoulder. I'm going to praise you with the tapping of my cane. But I'm going to praise you. Because you've been mighty good to me. Lord, I ain't got what some folk got, and I ain't been what some folk been. And I may not know what some folk know. But as long as I've got you, and as long as you got me, it is well. I do declare, you've been a mighty good God. Hear our prayers in this room. Feel our hearts in this room. We are very thankful. And forgive us for not saying it more often. Forgive us for the silence of our tongues at most inopportune times. We will bless you at all times. And your praise will always be in our mouth. God, forgive us of our sins, we do pray. And have mercy on us. From everlasting to everlasting, we call you God. We call you Father. We call you Savior. We call you Lord. And redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Come on, choir.
God is great. And greatly to be praised. He's wonderful.
God is great.
He's awesome.
God is great.
Have you ever lived to?
Amen. Amen. God is great.
Amen.
Greatly to be praised. Presence, God of power, even a God of persistence. For Lord, even at times when we didn't feel like running, you made us run. When we didn't feel like getting up, fighting, trying, holding on, you made it happen. You wouldn't give up on us, even when we gave up on ourselves. When we were disconsolate, dysfunctional, just dead, you told us to run on, see what the end shall be. You remind us that this is just one day. There are many others yet to come. Your journey is long and filled with challenges. You said you'll never leave us and you'll be with us. So we thank you for that. When we look at the summary of our lives, we recognize that you've been right there. And we thank you. Now in this moment, we again pray that you would make us ready to hear what you are saying to the church. You're talking to us. Some would say that they have never talked with you. I'm not really sure that they've heard from you. This is that moment. This is the speaking of God through the preached word. So hear us asking you to talk to you, to us. And God, then speak to us in a language that we understand, with a vocabulary that's not too rich and, Lord, not too thin. Don't overwhelm us, Lord, with fancy words, but speak to us in our elementary minds that we can say yes and amen. And surrender to your word. You don't have to impress us, God. You don't have to blow our minds. Just let your mind be our mind. Draw us in. Keep us there. And don't let us be stolen away by distractions, by the cares of this world, but let us focus on you. So speak to us. Oh, God, lift us higher. Use me, I pray. Everything you've given me, Lord, I'll surrender it to you. That your word would go forth with conviction. That someone would cry out, what must I do? Save somebody today, Lord. The power of the gospel can save. From the uttermost to the guttermost. From the penthouse to the outhouse. Somebody's in here today that needs to make a decision. Let that decision be based on the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Give God some praise by the clapping of your hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's a little better, everybody. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 I love this time of the year when we are churching, because when you look at the back door, it gets all fogged up with steam and life. That means there's life in here. And what we got going on in here is hotter than it is out there. And I like that. I love to know that we can generate some energy. Amen. People have often said nobody wants to be a part of a dead church. Amen. And I'm thanking God we got signs of life. Amen. There's life in here. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Again, in the New Testament of your Bible, if you were at 2 Peter earlier and left your bookmark, you're going to find Hebrews pretty easy. You didn't remember where 2 Peter was, you're going to have to go to the front of the book, look in the table of contents. Ain't no shame in looking in the table of contents. That's why they put it there. Amen. You're not required to have to know all that stuff by memory. Just be able to find the table of contents. Amen. Amen. When I make biscuits, I still read the label. It ain't like I don't know. I just want to make sure they ain't added nothing new. Amen. Don't try to fool me. I'll make sure, okay? Amen. The word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, and we want to look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, let us, in the New Living Translation, you may have something a little different, but it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Amen. You may be seated. While you're sitting down, resting for a few minutes, it's about 18 minutes after the hour of 12. Your team plays at 1 o'clock. You'll be all right. I'll get you out of here, and you can go hoot and holler for whoever you like. In the moment that we have, I want to talk about, if you will, if you're smiling, you don't have to say anything to your neighbor. I'll just say it for you. But in the few moments that I want to take up of your time, I want to talk about the words from your mouth. Words from your mouth. Notice what the writer says, and the writer has been debated about whether it was Paul or some other writer. Some say there are collections of writers or least contributions from more than one, but the writer says, and we've got to hold tightly to that which we have affirmed without wavering. And we've got to make sure that what we're affirming is about God, because God can be trusted. There's a word, an adage, if you will, or a saying in the world that says, it's not always what you say, but it's what you do. And then they let Marvin Gaye go to the studio, and he made a record that said, believe kind of half of what you hear, or some or none, or what you, you know, what people say sometimes just ain't real. That's what he was getting to. He was trying to put us on notice that sometimes folk talk a game and ain't got no game. In the Christian community, that can be dangerous. It can be dangerous for us to say that we are Christians and we truly are not. It can be dangerous to say that we have committed our lives to Christ and we have not. It can be dangerous for us to say that we have love for the brethren and we have not. I'm saying that what comes out of your mouth matters. My mother used to tell us when we were children, and I bet your mama told you too, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing. And that just didn't apply to minimal things. It applied to everything. And one of the things that I've learned is that people sometimes say stuff, fail to realize that you can't take it back. Once you have put words in the air, some things I'm sorry doesn't make up for. The Lord himself gives us some insight into this predicament, because he reminds us that there will be many who have said in his name or have offered in his name that which he will return to them as not valid. He said there are going to be folk who are going to work in the guise or disguise of ministry and do great things perhaps even, but they will not be recognized by he or the Father. And he says, you got to make sure that your works don't betray you. So what you say does matter. And so when we look at what the writer talks about, he helps us to check ourselves. Nudge your neighbor and say, it's a checkpoint here. Because many of us in the church have not the Christ. I'll say that again. There are a lot of folk in the church, but don't have Christ. I don't know how to tell you to deal with that without realistically hitting you upside your head and reminding you that unless you get it his way, it's of no report. It's not of any value. The Bible says we've got to submit ourselves to God. Jesus himself talks about surrendering all of life, that he become all of our lives. Peter stands up and says, well, Lord, you know, we left everything to go with you. And he said, I recognize that, Peter. And that's a good thing, because if you give up everything, I'll give you everything. If you leave all of your family, if you leave your mother and father and sons and daughters, fear not, Peter, I got you covered. And some of us are fearful of what we give up and not faithful of what we could gain. God is a God of recompense. God is a God that does not forget. And so when we call ourselves Christians, what are we saying? We tell our friends and our neighbors that we are blood bought and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, and all of those wonderful cliches that sound very wonderful among those who don't know no better. But I remember my grandma saying, you can tell the tree. Now, I didn't know that it was in the Bible at the time. She took credit for it for a while. And then I said, Grandma, you know, they put what you said in the Bible. How wonderful, which means you was around when Moses was around. You know how folk live, how they engage themselves. When they say they're Christians, Jesus reminds us that we're the salt of the earth. And if we lose that ability, what good are we? And some of us have not taken under advisement or into consideration the full gravity of what came out of your mouth. Sing songs like, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. We sing songs about Jesus is great and how great thou art, and we sing, and we sing, and we sing, but we don't live. We don't love. We're not led like we sing. And there's something inherently wrong with that, because it's not impossible to please God. It's not hard to be a Christian. In fact, I would suggest to you that your best life is your God life. I got a few amens there. I feel good about it. Your best life is your life in Christ Jesus. David reminds us, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I should have nothing to want for. I don't have to be afraid. And he leads and guides me. And see, when we say Psalms 23, we ought to live Psalms 23. You cannot suggest that the Lord leads and guides you and you can't come to Bible training. You can't say that the Lord is your provider when you can't give him his time. Y'all getting quiet on me. What came out of your mouth must be your life. So he said, let's hold tight to that. Let's not let that go. Let's not walk away from it. And clearly many of us have not fully surrendered or submitted to the challenges and the charge and the commitment of the gospel. Did I say three good things there? I felt that I did. The challenges, the charge, and the commitment. You cannot tell me how difficult it is to be a Christian when you haven't tried. I'm not talking about standing down a carpeted aisle and shaking the hand of the preacher and getting baptized and the communion. No, those things are simple. Heathens do that. Anybody can take communion. I've wrestled with that all of my days as a pastor. I tell folk all the time, anybody, whoever's here, let them take it. Because if indeed they are not of Christ, it's just a little piece of bread and some grape juice. Because if it didn't change us by now, it can't hurt them. You are fooling yourself. If what's coming out of your mouth is not your life. The charge is that you would go, therefore, and do what God said do. The challenges are there, the charges, the commitment is there. It is our life. Many of us have quoted from the book of Acts, in him I live, move, and have my being, and yet you claim yourself to be independent and a free will thinker. You grown and you can do what you want to do, and your life is your own. And listen, you crazy. You're knucklehead. Because Jesus says, apart from me, you've got nothing. And we argue with the Lord in our own subtle way by kind of saying in the back of our mouth, in the low tone of our voice, but I do have a car, and I got a house, and I got a job, and I got a honey, and I got this. And God is looking at us saying, O thou fool. Does thou not know that this very night your soul will be required? And some of us, because the Lord has let us live a whole lot of days, we think that means that God is all right with us. Not necessarily so. Ain't no fool like an old fool. There are commitment levels that we don't address. I'm almost there. The commitment levels are critical, Vicki, because without commitment, what is the church? Seriously. The charge, the challenge. Okay, I know that many of us like clapping our hands. We like swaying. We got one or two good swayers around here. I'm trying to move on, but if I had an image that I got to deal with for me, let me get this. We got a few swayers. We got a few swagger people. You know, we got some royal clappers. We got some folk who can do it like nobody can do it. But that ain't doing it. And I know that there are those who like praise. There are those who love the ladies and brothers who do the praise thing and you want more of them and less of me. And I understand that. But here's the problem. That ain't saved you yet either. I mean, we put them out there every Sunday and but you got to realize that the commitment is indeed from Matthew chapter 6, around the latter verses where he said, listen, you got to seek first. Nudge your name and say, here we go. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God will start blessing you with requests and desires of the heart and ask and it shall be given. You can't get it backwards to go forward. You got to commit to him. God don't do that part-time thing. You can't have God on your terms, and he can't have you on his. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge me. God says, I love you, and I'll give you anything because I love you. And you say, I like you, and I want all the stuff you'll give me because you love me. You say to God, I can't come every Sunday because I'm busy. But when I can be there, Lord, you can count on me. He said, apart from me, you got nothing. And then we get mad when God does subtraction more than he does addition. My grandmother used to tell us, Melvin, that anything we love more than God, he'll take it. So every time I lost something, I said, God, I'm sorry. You ain't have to kill my dog. I was little. Here it is. He says we've got to make sure that we take the responsibility in response to the righteousness imputed to us and the life given to us, that we don't let go of the hand of God. That we don't back up because it gets hard. We don't shy away because they get challenged, or we get our feelings hurt, or somebody don't recognize us, because the reality is I'm in it for Christ. I didn't get what I thought I'd get. I put a note here. It was in yellow. The probabilities that you're going to get your feelings hurt are high. The probability that everybody ain't going to like you is high. The probability that you're going to mess something up is high. But the potential and promise of God is unchanged. You are still the apple of God's eye. When you drink too much, smoke too much, lie, steal, cheat, he still loves you. And he doesn't change. He doesn't say, never mind. He said, you got to hold on because you said you believe. Nobody made you say it. Let me see if I can get along quickly here. To all of you that were held at gunpoint to confess Christ, please raise your hand. There are none. To those of you who were promised something truly wonderful, the winning lottery numbers and this like, if you gave your life to God, would you please raise your hand? There are none. To those of you who were promised that your marriage would be without difficulty, your children would be like Beaver and Ernest Cleaver. Your wife would be like June or Mrs. Beasley. Please raise your hand. To those of you who were promised that if you gave your life to Christ, you would make six figures, you would never have a bill late, you would never be past due, you wouldn't get collection calls, you wouldn't make bad decisions. Please raise your hand. There are none. Then why did you turn away from God? Because things didn't go your way. How could you let go of his unchanging hand? Because it got hard. It was hard before you got here. It'll be hard when you go. He says you gotta stay with what you came through, what you came to, and what you must do. Well, those good, weren't they? He said, you have the opportunity of a lifetime simply because you said from your mouth, I belong to God. And for those of you who are looking at me now saying, well, I never said that, then what are you waiting for? Why can't you say it? Why can't you commit to God? What are you waiting for? There is no perfect pastor to preach to you on Sunday. There are no perfect people to sit with you on Sunday. There are no perfect churches to bury your dead and marry your young and bless your babies. All of us got issues. With S, some of us have a multiplicity of issues. Some of you should be in therapy. If we were to be honest with you, you scare us. You put the bi in polar. Help. God loves you. And see, you will never live the fullness of your life playing these games. God is not about Christmas or Thanksgiving or holidays or vacations. And you can sit home and have all the God you want. You don't spend no extra amount of money. You don't have to get the right package. The word, the Roman letter simply said that you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's it. Pastor, it took you 22 minutes to get to that. Yes! Cowboys don't play the 425. Florida State put up 80 yesterday. If you would let it come from your mouth, but first it must be generated in your heart. Was that James Brown? Jess, you know the, you keep up with him like I do. Talking loud and saying nothing. That's why our choirs are losing their effectiveness to minister. That's why our preachers are no longer in great demand or respected. That's why our deacons can't hold a prayer meeting down. That's why our trustees cannot be trusted, because we're talking loud and saying nothing. If we have not the heart for God, our words are useless. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Loving God should make you tired, so you don't do foolish things. You know, when you're tired, you don't do as many foolish things. Worship should wear y'all out. So y'all leave here, y'all just go home and put your foot up on the ottoman and go, shoo! Did we not bless God today? Our hands and our feet won't be driven to mischief. Came out of my mouth. How many of you ever told your children, you heard what I said? How many of you have been told that? You heard what I said. Don't try me. Don't make me say that again. You know, that's authority. That's impact. When you talk about your God, it ought to be like that too. When you say you love him, you ought to live like you love him. When you say he is my shepherd, you ought to live like he your shepherd. When you say he's my all and my all, you ought to live like that. These are the words out of your mouth. Bible even says, Deacon McKinley, that your word is your bond. Some of y'all understand bond. You've been arrested a time or two. You know the value of good bond. Some of y'all have the number in your phone. Your one call is not to your uncle or your aunt. It is to your bondsman. It's me again. I'm on the way. I'm not done. He said this. Three important things, Sister McKenzie. First, other than what I gave you earlier, the charge, the challenge, and the commitment. Three important things. We must consider the cause. I'll preach here and I'll be done. The cause. The cause. Many of us don't understand the cause and are really not concerned about the cause. What is the cause? Here it is. In the Revelation letter, he said this: we must maintain until he comes. Let's keep this thing together. We cannot let the church fall apart on our watch. Complaining about it. We've been talking about it for years. Revival ain't like it used to be. Homecoming ain't like it used to be. We sure don't sing like we used. We have let it fall apart. Why? Because we are lying and lying and lying and lying. We are not committed to God. We are not maintaining until he comes. The Lord himself challenges us by saying, don't let me come and find you with your works undone. Look at your name and say, shame, shame, in the best Gomer Power voice you got. That's what he says to the Revelation church. He says, you must keep this together until I come. And then he closes by saying, I will ask nothing more of you. Some of us have complicated Christianity to the point that folk are confused about what it means to be a Christian. Chandeliers don't make us better Christians. Carpets don't make us better Christians. The trustees and I have had some conversation about that parking lot out there, and it ain't going to make us no better Christians. We put $35,000 in blacktop on that yard out there. It ain't going to make y'all no better Christians. Some of y'all can't park straight now, and you ain't going to park straight then. Whether the lines are diagonal or straight, it ain't going to make no difference to y'all. Some of y'all ain't going to come but one time just to make sure the parking lot is the park. The reality is, he says, maintain it. Keep it together. Watch this. He said, and unless you hold tightly with what you have, you're going to lose it. See, many of us don't understand the call. Christianity is not about just what we do. It is what he commands that we do. Because we can be creative and innovative and all kinds of crazy little things like that. That's just fine. I've sat in meetings with folk who throw all kinds of stuff on the table just to hear themselves talking. Pastor, I suggest that we, and they get their little self together, and I sit there going, really? And you're going to follow up on that to say, oh, no, I'm just going to pass it on to somebody else. This ain't no marathon where you pass no baton. He said, maintain. Take care of my widows and orphans. Feed my sheep. Train up a generation. It should break our hearts not to pack this place out for learning. It should break our heart when our tithing is falling off like it has. How many of you have ever even asked a trustee, how we doing? You know why you won't ask? Because you know how you doing. And you're afraid that they're going to identify that you're a non-doer. See how quiet it's getting? We are failing to maintain. And when we address the issue that need to be maintained, folk fold up their arms, put up their tent of protests. There he go again. I'm just doing maintenance. How you going to fix stuff that you won't identify as broken? I don't care who broke it. Let's just fix the darn thing. Our attendance is horrible. That's poor maintenance. Our tithing is horrible. That's poor maintenance. Our praise is in. That's poor maintenance. This is the call that we maintain until he comes. Second piece, we're almost there. We need to understand the conditions that we're ministering under. There are hazards here. There are hazards in every workplace. And some of you don't mind identifying the hazards because all you do is tell on people. All you do is talk about what's wrong with the church. Come on, really? There are hazards everywhere. Listen, there are difficult conditions to work under everywhere. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says you have an adversary. And he ain't backing up. It's right there in the Word of God. He said, listen, there is an adversary who roams like a lion. The church ain't no playground. This ain't sandals. This ain't no hang out where we just enjoying out. This ain't no Marriott, Gold Points. It's hard out there for, oh no, that's different. I'm sorry. That's something else. That's for another meeting. Listen, it's right in the text. He said, listen, there is an adversary. Adversary is going to tell you things like, you crazy, I wouldn't go. You'll leave. You'll go somewhere, take your talent and go to New York. You know, listen, that's a lie. Can I tell you what I done told you before and I'm going to tell you again? If you sorry here, you're going to be sorry there. If you weak here, you're going to be weak there. You listen, you can't take a new you nowhere till you got a new you to take somewhere. One of the things I learned early in life is if I can get everything they'll give me, then I can take it somewhere else. That's what the guy did that worked for Pepsi Cola. He learned everything he can learn about Pepsi and then tried to get a job at Coke. Pepsi said, we'll sue you. If you tell them one thing about our product, we will sue you. Antitrust laws forbid you to do so. And Coke said, we don't need that trouble. So the man developed RC. Don't nobody like it. You do know that's what happened. That's our Royal Crown. Listen to me. Hear me well. They're conditioned. I can't promise you a perfect environment. I've never been in a perfect environment. It's jacked up folk everywhere. The church is designed for jacked up folk. Read the Bible. Whosoever will, let them come. Listen, there are places some of y'all ain't gonna never get in. But you can get in the church and claim stake to an office. We make deacons out of some kind of folk. We make trustees out of some kind of folk. We get preachers who are some kind of folk. But he said there's an adversary though. And then he says this. We're about done. You can go home. He says, please understand that there are people who are going to leave us. But they were never with us. That's the condition. He said, please understand, people come in through the back gate, jump over the fence, sneak in any kind of way they can get in, and the reality is that's their modus operandi. They're never sold out like some of us are sold out. Some would say, this would be a good point to illustrate Judas. I wouldn't necessarily agree with you that it's not so, but then it is so. What are you saying, Pastor? You're confusing us. I'm confused myself. The reality is, I don't know Judas's role. I really don't understand that. This guy was right there. Was he really a plant from God to push Jesus to Calvary? Or was he a plant from God to teach us how not to live? I don't know. I wouldn't want to have been Judas. You imagine how Judas' parents felt? Somebody went by the house and said, you know your son just killed himself because he betrayed Jesus. They said, not Judas. Poor Miss Judas. Didn't even get to have a good funeral. Who going to come to Judas' funeral? Have I drifted off my point? I'll go back. The reality is, listen, there are conditions. But remember, you have a charge, a challenge, and a commitment. The cause is there. The condition is there. Then the last thing is, there will be calamities because of what you said in your mouth. Jesus says this, and I'm going home. Jesus reminds us that in this life, it's going to get ugly. But this is the life. And he said this. He said, this is what has kicked me in my head for many years, especially since I pastor y'all. This kicks me in my head. Jesus said this. He said that most of the trouble that we encounter will come rooted because we are affiliated with him. It's John 15, if you don't believe me. Get your Bible, read it in a little bit. Jesus says that the mere fact that you are aligned with me, they coming at you. I couldn't get that. I kept saying, but I would think, Lord, that because your head's round about us, and you know, that all of that would give us some sense of comfort. He said, no, sir. Read John 15. He said, the world hates me and they're going to hate you because of me. But don't you leave me. He said, remember, they hated me first. Paul discovered that. People who used to love him when he was Saul tried to kill him when he was Paul. The disciples understood that. The apostles understood that because they couldn't go back. Jesus said it himself. He said, my own town, I have no honor. You know, have you ever been traveling down the highway and you get to those little cities and they say, home of Hank Aaron, Major League Baseball, home of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Little towns are proud of their hometown boy. Right here in Lynchburg, y'all got a few guys that have done good. I believe that that little Cook fella plays out there in Minnesota. You know, some of y'all might be related to Mr. Cook. But, you know, some of y'all are proud. You know, Cook made it. They got that boy at Virginia Tech now. They're thinking he might make it. What's his name? Logan there. The little Logan fella, you know, big old cat. You know, they think Logan, he Brookville. Woo-hoo! I got a couple of them like that, you know, that Smith boy and the Henderson boy, and you know, it's a couple of them. But in Jesus' life, they didn't put no sign outside his hometown. They didn't even want to act like they knew him. They said, no, he ain't from here. It's because of me. Then he said this. He said, listen, I chose you. That's my argument. I chose you. Watch this now. To come out of the world. Don't you ever, ever forget that he chose you. Nudge your neighbor. Wake him up. Slap on the back of the head. Pull a weave. Bite the fingernail. Tell him he chose you. That's an honor. That's a high calling. That's a privilege. That's something to shout about. Because if nobody else wanted you, he wanted you. And chose you to come out of the world. And told the world to get out of you. He chose you. And you said yes. I checked earlier. No gunpoint. No knife to the throat. No coercion. No force. He said, I chose you. And so what he says is, whatever happens to you, I'm going to take care of you. All that they do to you because of me, I got you. And that's why grandmama and them, when choirs really sang, knew what they were singing, made that song and said, I'll be all right. By and by. Because the Lord said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But if you hold me up, you stand fast, and even when they're beating you and stoning you like Stephen, if you just look up and glorify me, I got you covered. What comes out of your mouth needs to be generated in your heart. You need to love God without wavering. You don't need foolishness in your life. You need to walk by faith. You need to trust God with everything that's in you and stop playing church games. You got to believe it. To him that received him, he gave. Look at your name and say, I got that. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will receive power. That's why we keep coming, Dean Campbell, because of the power. That's why we hang in there. Through the challenges and through the difficulties, the calamities. Listen, it is impossible to please him if you don't believe in him. There are faith issues. And my time is over. I'm done now. I'm done. The last thing I wanted to suggest to you is really a question. It's it. I'm at the end of the paper. Or the tablet. I'm fancy. I don't have paper anymore. We no longer kill trees. We just log in. But here's my last question, Deacon Anderson. This is it, Deacon Richburg. Are you convinced? That's just the bottom line. Before it comes out of your mouth, are you convinced? Can you say Jesus is Lord and live under the Lordship. He's Savior of everyone, but he's not Lord to everyone. He saved all of us. It's right there in the text. The text says that he hung, bled, and died, and his death brought salvation to every man and woman. But not all call him Lord. What's in your mouth? Are you convinced? Because if you have not considered the cause, you can't stand the conditions, and you don't want to be a part of the calamity, you're not convinced. This is the life we live. My life is hidden in Christ Jesus. And before you sing one more time, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Better check yourself. Before you stand up one more time and talk about he's an on-time God, yes, he is. You might ought to check yourself. Before you talk about, oh, I want to see him look upon his face, you ought to check yourself. For I am convinced that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Not peril, not distress, not anything to come or that has come. I'm convinced. So if you will confess with your mouth, you need to be convinced. I'm done. I have done all that I know to do in these few moments that we have shared. I shall now retire to my place of rest. I've got a fruit basket in my office. Not enough for all of us. Therefore, I shall enjoy it with you on my mind. Amen. Let's stand on our feet together. I'm done. I'm not going to scream. Got a game coming on. Got to save some of that. Here's my question to you. If you're in this room at 12:56 on the 24th day of November, and we were to ask you under oath, swearing, promising that you are what comes out of your mouth. If you are indeed wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up, if you sold out, blood bought, fire baptized, then we commend you to your course. But if you're in this room, you know that what has come out of your mouth is not what your life is. And you know you need a Savior, and you do. Because all of us need a Savior. All of us are sinners saved by grace, but you must accept him. God never handcuffs anybody, never drags anybody along the road. He just simply says, come. Come and see. If you're in this room today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if you've not confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you've not called upon his name for salvation purposes, we call upon his name for a lot of things that are not salvation related. I've heard heathens scream out, Lord, have mercy. I've heard them go, oh my God. I've heard them say, Father, in the name. But I know it's not genuine. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, would you come now? Just ask your neighbor to give you a place of excuse me so you can come down the aisle. We're going to go. But I want you to know today that if it comes out of your mouth, let it be generated from your heart. When you love the Lord, love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul. When you follow him to the end. Who then can be saved? You can. And you look around this room and you look at us. We were just like you. Unsure. Standing on the outside, trying to look in. Asking ourselves of what would we surrender by giving our life to Christ, and even what would we gain? What difference is there between the heathen and the holy? We ask ourselves, because we saw kind of what you see sometimes. You see church folk in church and you see them outside the church. And you watch marriages and you watch relationships. And you say, I don't know, man. I mean, I can't really tell the difference. So I'm not going to waste my time. Maybe I'll keep looking somewhere else. But I told you earlier, there are no perfect pastors, no perfect people, no perfect congregations. It's what you decide to do and who you decide to become, how you decide to live. We are not in bondage together. We don't have to go home with each other. We don't have to see each other all the time. But you're always with you. And you know you better than anybody, save the Lord. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, would you come today? Would you trust God for who he is and what he promised? He said that he would send us a savior, and he did. If you're here today, young man and young woman, don't fear what you don't know. God is a fear overcomer. He'll give you confidence. Would you come? And if you can't come today, maybe God will let you live long enough to come back next Sunday. Maybe come back Thursday. But I wouldn't leave today in hopes of another opportunity. I would take advantage of this moment. You say, well, Pastor, folk think I'm already saved. Well, you think you're already saved. That ain't helping you none either. But I've been here all this time, and if I come down the aisle, what are they going to think of me? It doesn't matter what they think of you. Because the only report that's going to matter is the report of the Lord. No committee entrance will be accepted. Nobody can vouch for you. Only if you come today. The doors are open. If you'll come. Then we say to you, if you are at peace with your present condition, maybe you just need to refresh yourself. Say to God, Lord, I think I want to do better now. Had a chance, Lord, to think about that charge and think about those challenges. Pastor said something somewhere along those last 42 minutes and he got me. Maybe I have not really considered the cause. Maybe I'm not in a good maintenance for the church program. Maybe I don't realize the conditions are just as they are. I'd like to see my church up here, but right now it's here. Maybe I can do something with that. So God, if you'll refresh me, if you'll revive me in the spirit, I think I can take that assignment and make a difference for my young people. Make a difference for the senior. Make a difference for the unwed mother. Make a difference for that single brother. I heard you say something to me, Lord, about my commitment. I haven't made enough Bible studies. I haven't made enough church academies. I haven't tithed like I should have. I'm walking out of here with more money than I gave you. I'm on my way to a restaurant where I'm going to tip the waitress or the waiter or the host or the hostess with more than I gave you. My friends and I, we're going to go in with that 8 deep rule. If you come in 8 deep, you got to give 20%. And we ain't going to have no problem with it, God. In fact, one of us going to say, let's give a little more. And I'm going to be a part of that. And I didn't give you that. My commitment is askew. And so, God, I'm not going to walk out of here like that today. Because I've got breath in my body in this moment. And I'm going to do something different. I am going to undertake the charge and the challenge. I'm going to better understand the cause and the condition. And I'll get through the calamities because I know that there are those who will fall by the wayside. First John says, please understand and don't get frustrated, church, when folk leave us who were never with us. He said, don't let that bother you, but you must maintain until the Lord shall come. I'm not going to abandon my post. I will guard my post and everything within the limits of my post and quit my post only when properly relieved. Until the Lord says leave. Until the Lord gives me a replacement. I'm going to stand the wall. That's what Nehemiah said. He said, listen, either you help me or get out of my way. And Lord, I know that there will be casualties. When I was writing the sermon, I thought about talking about casualties and I said, let's not even go there because there are those who will certainly die before the Lord shall even return. In the Hebrew writing, he addresses it by saying, there are those who stay committed to God but never saw the promise. We consider that a casualty life. For all they gave him, God never let them peer over that fence called promise. But they counted it joy to have served God. Would you come just to get a cool drink of water, just to be refreshed in the journey? And lastly, I say if you're looking for a church that's a little bit different, this ain't no cake and ice cream ministry. We do a little asparagus and broccoli around here. We do some of that hard stuff. But it's necessary. And we don't promise that you're going to always be bouncing on your toes and laying across the floor. We just want to be honest with you. If we can change the way you think, we can indeed change the way you live. But you got to want to live different. This is the greatest time in my life. Would you come? I know you're ready to go. It's a little past the hour of one. But I want to ask you to do me one small favor before we go, if you don't mind. You look like a generous people. Would you just reach and grab somebody's hand right where you are? You don't have to go anywhere today. Right where you are, just grab somebody's hand. You don't even have to worry about reaching across the aisle. I got you covered. I'm in the gap. Just grab somebody's hand. Prayer is wonderful. I want you to put on the balcony of your mind right now, 3 things that you want God to do in somebody else's life. You're not going to be first today. Old preacher told me something. He said, the more you serve God, the further you move back in the line of request. And I've understood that in these parts of my life now that I'm endangering and enduring. So three things that you want God to do, three people you want God to do something for. Something as simple as, Lord, they need to be in church next Sunday. Something as simple as, Lord, they got a case coming up. And if that man or that woman goes to jail, if you don't grant them favor with the court. Something as simple as, Lord, my son or my daughter is sick. My husband is sick. 3. And not you, not for you, 3, other than you. Then I want you to do 3 things that you want God to do in your church. Wherever your church is, doesn't have to be GBC, I pray it is. But 3 things you want God to do in your church in the coming year. 3 things you want to see God do and know that it's a mighty move of God that got it done. 3 things. It may be our young people, maybe our seniors.
Maybe that our tithe and offerings would increase. Maybe that we would indeed pave that parking lot. Maybe it'll be that we do more outreach. Three things that you want to see done. That's your request. And lastly, three things that you need to do to better be committed, better understand the challenges, and better understand the charge. In other words, Lord, look in me. And if there's any unclean thing or anything unlike you, Lord, fix it. Because I want to better understand what came out of my mouth. I made you some promises, God, and I made you more than one. I made you promises when I was at my lowest point. I made you promises when I was doing pretty good. I made you promises, Lord, when I was in the worst place I could have ever been. I made you promises when I was working on that job that I couldn't stand. And Lord, you gave me another job. I made you a promise when you gave me my wife or my husband or my sons or my daughters. I made you a promise when I paid that last payment. So Lord, I need to get three things right concerning the charge, the challenge, and the commitment that you require of me. Meditate on those things here. I'm not going to say quickly, but meditate on those things for a friend or neighbor, for your church, and Lord, fix me. Father, while your children are